Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 5th of January. And we're doing our open line this Monday. It's a chance for you to call in and suggest programs you'd like to have on the air. Maybe you've read a great book, you got a present over the holidays, and somebody gave you a fabulous book, and you said, oh, I'd like to have everybody hear about that, interview the author. Or perhaps there's a part of the world that you'd like for us to focus on more specifically than we have in the past, or maybe we've never focused on this. Is there anything about the incoming administration you'd like for us to deal with, or the many issues that face this country and the world in this year ahead? Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and our lines are filled right now, but you keep trying, because when somebody says goodbye, somebody will say hello. We start with John from Madison. Hi, John. Hello, John.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Two people I would like to hear speak. One is a scientist by the name of Roger Fouts, F-O-U-T-S. He wrote a book called Next of Kin. It's a book about how he, with the gardeners, another pair of professors, taught a chimp Washoe American Sign Language. And it just, the whole book's a wonder. It's the story of how absolutely close chimpanzees are to humans. I mean, they can literally communicate with us with sign language, combining signs in the sentences. Also, you know, it's just, their vocabulary is incredible. It would be, I think, mind-opening for most
sure.
people to understand just how, what chimpanzees are capable of. The second book is, this is one I've recommended before, but I reread it recently. It's called The Age of Propaganda by Professors Pratkanis and Aronson of California State, and University of California, and I think they could simply explain to people how we're manipulated by political advertising, commercial advertising, state propaganda, etc., in ways that everybody would be more aware of what's being used on them. I think that would also be a great show.
I'm sorry, I missed the name of the book.
Age of Propaganda.
Oh,
it's
Age.
It's in its second edition. This
okay.
is a compilation of all the latest social psychology findings concerning manipulation by individual psychology and the use of symbols. The usual definition of propaganda. But they explain how the way that the theory of this manipulation has changed over the decades and what the current thinking is now.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Well, you liked Lakoff. If you like Lakoff, believe me, you'll love Pratkanis and Aronson.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Steve from Decorah, Iowa. Hi, Steve.
Hi. How are you today?
All right. How are you?
Good. I'm thinking about a book by James Howard Kunstler called A World Made by Hand.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the book?
No.
He's also written The Long Emergency, which is not a novel. The World Made by Hand is a novel, and The Long Emergency is a nonfiction. But I think the book is an excellent book, and it is a thought-provoking look at what the world might look like after a flu pandemic and a nuclear exchange between the Islamist world and the United States.
Okay. And that's a novel.
That's the novel is A World Made by Hand. The author is James Howard Kunstler.
Right, I have
it. It'd be a great book for chapter a day, I think.
Okay.
As well.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye.
800-486-8655 is our number. We have an open line for the month of January. If you call in and give us a suggestion that sounds good to all of us, we'll be on it. We'll get it on the air for you. A couple lines are open right now. If you've been trying to get through, it would be a good time for you to give us a ring. We go to Vern from Monroe. Hi, Vern.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Vern.
I enjoy these open lines.
Good. Then I'm glad, because you must be happy because we're having one, right?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
The government's given huge amounts of money away, and I'm trying to figure out to make who richer. Is it the people in the Forbes magazine that the richest 400, or is it the people in the labor unions that really probably need the money? So I have two guests. I understand we have a lot of tax loopholes for the income taxes. I understand there's 100 tax loopholes for them to jump through so they can, the rich people can make more money. Then I also understand a lot of these rich corporations get grants with no strings attached. So I have guests on both of these subjects.
All right. Who are they?
And why do we need 100 tax loopholes so the rich can hide their money offshore or wherever they want to hide it?
Right. Do you have a guest in mind, though, Vern?
No,
oh,
but
okay.
I think you could probably find that out. On...
Right. Okay.
Because there are people, and they need grants, too. I've heard people call in on that before, talking about grants. It's even in farmers, they get big farms get grants, no strings attached. I think General Motors even got some of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Vern.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Carrie from Lancaster, hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Carrie.
Yeah, I have a lighter note. My mother-in-law has a book out. She's just got it out now, and I had emailed you, actually, and I'm hoping they'll send you a book. But she wrote a book called Shortcuts to Gourmet Cooking, and it's more than a cookbook. It's about her grandmother's immigration and her story, and then Fran's story. She had a son that had ADHD long before they actually knew what it was. And so she started this all-natural, preservative-free diet long before we knew what all-natural, preservative-free diets were, and incorporated her grandmother's cooking and this diet into running a restaurant. And so then she has all of her recipes in there from the restaurant, and it's got Italian cooking, Irish cooking.
Mm.
It's a marvelous book. She's a crazy lady, and I think it would just be fun for... I hope they send you a book. I told them to send you one. Take a look at it. I think it would be a fun hour.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, and if you, well, check out the email. I left my email address and hers also, and so if you wanted to contact me, we can get you. Hopefully they'll be sending you a book this week, though.
All right, Carrie, great.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, thank you.
Bye.
We go next to Marilyn from Cleveland. Hello, Marilyn.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
I think my suggestion here is particularly apropos considering the Middle East. It's a book by Mearsheimer and Waltz. Now, if you could get one or both authors on, it's called The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy. And it helps explain why the U.S. is very often the only vote on the Security Council against condemning Israel. And right now we are the sole country who is refraining from urging a ceasefire in the Gaza-Israeli conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So the authors are Mearsheimer and Waltz.
Okay, Marilyn.
The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy.
Foreign Policy. I got it down.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Marilyn.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Peggy from Cornell. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. I'd like to hear a man named John Coster Mullen. He's a truck driver from Waukesha, Wisconsin, and he's written a book. The name of the book is, Atom Bombs, The Top Secret Inside Story of Little Boy and Fat Man. This man, I don't know just how he has done it, but he's found all of the details of how these bombs were made and has published them in the book with accuracy and contradicting some of the things that official sources had given out. But they have given out really very little information, almost nothing, about how these bombs were made. And this man, all on his own, has gone and reconstructed and written a whole book so that, you know, it just shows you how our government is hiding things from us even now after all these years.
I read about him somewhere. Wasn't there an article about him recently?
Yes, that's probably the same one I read. It's
right.
The New Yorker.
It's the New Yorker, okay.
And he sounds like a very interesting person.
He does indeed. Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peggy.
Bye.
Bye. Daryl is next. Hi, Daryl.
Hello. I'd like to suggest a book.
All right.
The Shadow Factory.
Okay.
And that's by James Bamford.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ultra-secret NSA from 9/11 to the eavesdropping of America.
Mm-hmm.
He also had a book, Body of Secrets. You may have had him on earlier.
Yes, right. We did.
Well, this is a new book.
Okay. All right, Daryl.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah, thank you. Let's go to Michael from Hillsboro. Hi, Michael.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I would dearly love to hear someone interviewed on public radio on the topic of Barack Obama's citizenship. I have heard on the VCY American Network out of Milwaukee a reliable-sounding expert who claims that the certificate of live birth put up on Barack Obama's website for a long time now is an out-and-out fraud. I've not heard any refutation of that interview. I'd like a more in-depth look at what's going on. I do know from my personal experience that I'm making arrangements to do missionary work in Guatemala City. I have been required to go to my county seat. I have presented my own certificate of live birth, from whence I get a copy of my birth certificate. Mr. Obama's had two opportunities that I know of to do this, when he visited his ailing grandmother and when he took a vacation in Hawaii. So if he's got a legitimate birth certificate, why hasn't it been shown? It would just answer all these questions in a heartbeat.
It has been shown. I think you're listening to some...
No, what's been shown is a certificate of live birth, which is not a birth certificate.
Yeah.
I've had both of them. I've got both in my possession right now.
But, Michael, he's the president of the United States. I mean, he was born in America. This wouldn't get past people. He's the president.
He's the president-elect. And
right.
According to our Constitution, yes, he is required to be born in the United
right,
States.
Michael.
A certificate of live birth is not proof of that. That's just proof of birth.
Right.
A certificate of live birth is what you can use.
Don't think this is going to be an issue. I just don't think this is going to be an issue. So we don't really plan to do a show on it.
I think you should. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye. Let's go to Jeff from Winneconne. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I was wondering why journalists don't tell us right out who they are, if they're Republican or Democrat. You know, I would like to know that reason. You know, what is going on? You know, is there a some sort of a trick that's going on here or what? Because you sounded like a Democrat at first, and now you sound like a Republican.
I do?
Yes, you do.
All right. That's the way it's supposed to be, right?
I'm sorry.
All right. Thanks for the call. I mean, that's an interesting question, whether or not people should identify their beliefs. It's my belief that you can be very fair to people of all kinds of political persuasions, and that's the way it ought to be. Obviously, people have thoughts about things, and if you do this for as many years as I have, you probably have some indication of where people are, but we're the ones who are not terribly important here. It's the people we talk to. And we talk to people of all political persuasions. So thanks, Jeff, very much. But I see your point. Some people want to know that. Maybe they should. I don't know. Bruce from Green Bay. Hi, Bruce. Whoops, there we go. I had the wrong button. Hi, Bruce.
Yeah, Kathleen. I have a suggestion on the economy.
Uh-huh.
It's in this month's issue of Mother Jones, January-February 09.
Okay.
And it's by David K. Johnston.
David K. Johnston.
And it's called Fiscal Therapy. And it kind of deals with, tax reform, pensions, retirement, education. The whole magazine this month is very good, but that's a very in-depth article. I think that'd be a good guess.
Okay, that does sound good.
Well, that was it.
All right, Bruce. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
A couple lines are open. Join us if you'd like. 800-486-8655. It's an open line for the month of January, and we'd sure like to hear from you. We go next to Dave from Wanakee. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi.
I think in the week following the inauguration of Barack Obama, that there will be a lot of talk about pardons. And I would like for you guys to have an expert on pardons, because I imagine Bush will pardon quite a few controversial figures, and then maybe a month later do one on special prosecutors, perhaps Vincent Bugliosi or guests like that.
Okay. Are you looking forward to the year, Dave, or do you think it's going to be a hard one?
It'll be a hard one, but I think it'll be a very optimistic year.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Our number is 800-486-8655. It's open line for January, and we'll take more of your calls in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to your phone calls, and Bob from Sparta's next. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Hello.
I've read a book called The Animal Research War by P. Michael Kahn, and I'd like to have you get him on to talk about it. He's the associate director and senior scientist of the Oregon National Primate Research Center and a professor of physiology and pharmacology. In the book, he goes over, well, first of all, there are ties to the University of Wisconsin because they have a primate center. And one of the people that he mentions in the book, a fellow named Bollig, resides in Madison. And he's one of the members of our domestic terrorists. One of the terrorists that came up against the research people was actually sentenced with the enhanced sentence on that. Now, there's a lot of things in here that people assume they know, but they don't know. And it does reveal a good number of things about PETA and other such sort organizations. And I think that, I have copies of some opinion pages that he has written for the Washington Post and L.A. Times. I'd be glad to send that in if you desire.
Sure, Bob, that would be great. The problem is I don't remember our new address. Isn't that terrible? Do you have an email thing? Maybe Rob can get me our address. Can you? We'll give that because we've moved, and it would be a good idea anyhow for us to give an address.
Okay.
Wait a second. I think he's on the money right away. All right. We're at 310 West Wisconsin. Thank you, Rob. And it's number 750.
Well, I can send this to you on email.
Oh, on email. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. That's good. And then my email would be, why is it ever a Monday or what? My email is dunk@wpr.org, and Rhonda's is fanning at fanning@wpr.org.
Okay.
Okay?
I will do that.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye.
And we do have a new address here, so it's, I don't even know it. I'm writing it down. 310 West Wisconsin, number 750, and then it's in Milwaukee. We're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And the zip, we just don't know yet. So we'll get you the zip in just a moment. Okay. 800-486-8655 is our number for you to join our open line. Suggestions of guests you'd like to have on this air. And it can be political. It can be a book you've read. It can be, well, it's an open line, so whatever you want to have on the air, we would like to hear from you. And the zip, thank you, Rob, is 53203. I have to memorize that, 53203. Okay. Let's go next to Emma from Viroqua. Hi, Emma.
Hi there.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Emma.
I have two suggestions. One is, he's actually a historian, and I don't know the name of his most recent book, but he wrote a book a couple years ago that was part of the Massey series, lecture series on CBC Radio, and it's Ronald Wright, and he wrote a book called A Short History of Progress, and he currently has a new book that came out this year, but I can't remember the name of it. He also wrote Stolen Continents, so he's a historian. He's really fascinating. And the other is a huge wish list. I don't know if she'd be able to come on, but her name is Vandana Shiva, and she is writes a lot about genetic modification and food safety, and as well as sort of cultural relationships to land and agriculture, and I think she'd be really interesting.
How do you spell her last name?
Shiva is Shiva.
Okay.
And she wrote, the book that I just read was called Earth Democracy. She's also written Water Wars, Privatization, Pollution, and Profit, and a book called Stolen Harvest. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emma. That's a nice name, Emma, isn't it?
It is.
You like your name?
Well. Thank you.
Yeah, nice. Okay. Thanks, Emma.
Bye.
Bye. Lou is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Lou.
Yes. Could you have someone go into how a person or thing can survive a lightning strike, even though I've heard it is hotter than the sun?
What got you thinking about that, Lou?
Pardon me?
What got you thinking about that?
Well, I think about a lot of things, and that's
that's good. One, that's
one big one.
All right. I don't know if I can do an hour talk show on it, Lou.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could make it a little broader. What do you think?
Well, that was the main question there.
Uh-huh.
That I don't understand how it happened, and I'm curious.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Lou.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Marion is next from Richmond Center. Hi, Marion.
Hi. I'm an officer in AARP chapter for 24 years. I'm very concerned about senior care. I've heard two different figures. There's either 90,000 or 120,000 Wisconsin people on senior care. And, of course, it's going to be canceled out at the end of this year, December. I would like somebody to talk about senior care. Nearly everybody you talk to, you got a neighbor, a mother, a father, an aunt and uncle that's on senior care, and it's so important to them. They cannot afford Part D, Bush's prescription drug, Medicare Part D, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around to senior sites to get signatures to Senator, or I would say Health and Human Services, Leavitt, 2 years ago when it was going to be canceled, to please say senior care for these people. They cannot, like I said, they cannot afford Part D. Part D is so expensive. And if somebody could talk about it and see how we're going to try and keep it, for the seniors.
Okay, Marion. Good suggestion. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Let's go to Paul from La Crosse. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. Yes, my question is more practical. With this stimulus package coming out, and we're talking about, assisting in Medicare and Medicaid and doing things for, child's education and things like this, but they're also talking about major building projects. And Wisconsin's in line for two of those. One is the redevelopment of the locks and the updating of the locks along the Mississippi River, and the other one would be high-speed rail. And because we sit right between Jim Oberstar in Minnesota and Durbin in Illinois, and we've got Dave Obie in our state, I think that we should have somebody who could explain what's the likelihood of those two projects being mainlined and being up and running, at least the preliminary stuff up and running, maybe by the end of next year, so that by 2010, there might actually be some construction jobs created by the federal government in Wisconsin on the Mississippi or on our rail corridors. And so far, this is still pie in the sky for an awful lot of people because they've never had the funding for it. But I'm just curious to see, where Wisconsin ranks on those two projects and what's the possibility of those going through.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Paul. Valerie from Pine River. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you so much. I'm such a fan of yours.
Thank you.
I'm a director of a new veterinary hospice program here in Northeast Wisconsin. And when I was doing my research for this, I visited with two veterinarians in particular, one out in Colorado by the name of Robin Downing, who wrote a book called Pets Living with Cancer, A Pet Owner's Resource. And she's just a delightful veterinarian who specializes in pain control. The other veterinarian is out in California, and her name is Dr. Alice Villalobos. She's quite published also in geriatric oncology.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't get Robin's last name, Valerie.
Downing, D-O-W-N-I-N-G.
Okay. And have you read, it was one of my favorite books of last year, when you mentioned cancer, I was thinking of the hospice program, John Katz's book, Izzy and Lenore.
Yes, and I spoke with John Katz.
Oh, you did?
Publisher. Yes. What Izzy and Lenore are doing is hospice for humans,
right.
We do hospice for
animals, yeah.
In their home.
Mm-hmm.
But I did speak with John Katz's publisher, and he's very interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
So we are the first nonprofit veterinary hospice program.
Hmm.
We are veterinary personnel who have put this organization together. The foundation is called Healing Heart Foundation, and this is Healing Heart Pet Hospice.
Hmm.
So We are just honored to be able to take care of our pet families at home, giving them veterinary care for end-of-life patients.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Robin Downing and Dr. Alice Villalobos have been just my mentors and gurus on the forefront of this movement, which has been for some time now.
Hmm. Okay, we'll look into this. Thank you, Valerie.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sure. Bye.
Bye.
Lenny from Milton. Hi.
Hi. I'd just like to suggest John Ronson. He's an author, journalist, and filmmaker.
John, pardon? How do you spell it?
R-O-N-S-O-N.
R-O-N-S-O-N. Okay.
And just one comment. If you're going to identify your political views, why stop there? You might as well go religion, race, ethnic background. Just comment on that other caller.
Okay. Gotcha. Thanks. Bye. Ron from Marshville is next. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Kathleen. Happy New Year.
You too, Ron.
His name is Lawrence Gonzalez. It's spelled L-A-U-R-N-E-C-E. And he's written several books. He's a mountain climber, a pilot, an adventurer kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote this book called, this is his last book, actually, Everyday Survival is Why Smart People Do Stupid Things. And it is a mind blow. And he talks about our mental models and our psychological scripts versus reality.
Hmm.
Okay. And, you know, he's talking about things like, you know, teaching a four-year-old kid to tie a shoe, right, it's a really difficult thing to do. But once he gets it, he's got it for life, you know, like riding a bicycle and swimming and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going like, okay, you know, sometimes reality, you know, okay, it works. And all of a sudden there's a situation that comes around where it doesn't work, you know. And it is, like this woman, she's a mountain climber, okay. And she was rappelling, right? And she got halfway through tying up her stuff, and she looked down and noticed her shoes were untied. So she went down and tied them. And then somebody came by, another hiker, and talked to her. And, went, yabba, yabba, yabba. And so she goes all the way up there, 75 feet, and she starts coming down, and the knot is not tied. 75 feet, hit a tree, broke something, but she still lived, you know. But one of those things is like, And he goes, time after time after time, we do this thing. We don't pay attention to reality despite our mental models and our psychological scripts about how this should go, right?
Yes.
Because things change. And he's a really, really interesting person.
Yeah, it sounds interesting, Ron.
Oh, very.
Okay.
Very. Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call.
You bet.
Thank Bye. You. Yeah,
Bye-bye.
You too. Gail from New London. Hi, Gail.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Gail.
I don't have a book, but I'm wondering, are you going to do any more of your humor shows? Then?
Oh, you know, I just thought about it, and I was talking with Rhonda and Rob about this last week. Yes, we are.
Oh, good.
And we're thinking, because you get so sick of winter, I am now, but you get sick by February of it. So we don't have a date, but we are going to have one, and I'm making a public announcement now that it will be in February.
I was just out chipping ice, so I'm ready for one.
Oh, I know.
And my wife and I were going to Appleton one time when you had Bob and Ray on with the slow talker one.
Oh.
We were laughing so hard we had tears in our eyes.
Oh, Bob and Ray. Don't you love them?
They're just great.
Yeah, they were great. Okay.
Okay, I'm glad to hear you're going to be doing them.
Yes, we will. All right, thanks. Bye. Bob and Ray. We'll make them a part of our humor show. We just don't have a date yet. Barbara is next from Madison. Hi, Barbara.
Well, good morning, Kathleen. And first of all, I want to wish you a good year. You really weathered the onslaught and come out, and we're so happy that you're still here on our public radio for us. We love you, Kathleen.
Thank you, Barbara.
And I tell you, if you want to get some good laughs, I know that Al Franken would be a terrific guest. I know this kid from when he was in high school, and I thought, he was so brilliant. And I thought, what is a guy that's so smart going to end up doing, you know? And here he is. He looks like he's going to be our senator from Minnesota, huh?
It does look that way.
And he is just... he's a delightful guest, and if you want to have people laughing in the aisle, get Al Franken.
All right.
And then we haven't heard from Noam Chomsky for a long, long time, and since we have this wonderful new president coming in, I would like to get his take on things that are happening in this country and how he sees things evolving, I think you'd be a delightful guest, Kathleen.
All right, Barbara. Thank you, Barbara.
And
happy
best
New Year.
Wishes.
Thank you. You too. Bye. Arnie is next from Madison. Hi, Arnie.
Yes, hello. I wasn't able to listen to all your programs in 2008, but I wondered, did you have anybody on to discuss the New Deal, because 2008 was the 75th anniversary of its origins?
We did. I'm trying to think. We made reference to it in so many different shows, Arnie, but I'm not sure we did a whole show on the New Deal.
Okay. I was wondering especially about the parts that deals with the infrastructure that was constructed during this time. I think that's quite interesting now because we're seeing, of course, Obama proposing this. And there is one book that's very recent, which I think might cover it. The authors are Catherine Flynn and Richard Polese, P-O-L-E-S-E.
Okay.
And it's called The New Deal, and it's a May 2008 book.
Good. All right.
And I think there's one other book on the New Deal which doesn't deal with infrastructure, but it has an interesting insight by a journalist, and her name is Amity Schlaes. It's S-H-L-A-E-S, and it's called The Forgotten Man, A New History of the Great Depression.
The Forgotten Man. Okay. Those would both be good.
Yes. And I do have one other comment. You had a very interesting caller who phoned in at the end of December who commented on this one journalist who was talking about the future of newspapers, et cetera, and she got quite upset about the way he was talking, always using like and you know and that. And I thought that was really a very insightful comment that she gave, and I thought it would be interesting to see if you could get in touch with her because she had experience as a journalist and maybe something about the dumbing down of the language and just what linguists think about the future of this.
Okay, Arnie.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Happy New Year.
You too. Bye. Bye. Nolan from Edgerton. Hi, Nolan.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
You too.
I'd like to hear Paul Shanklin on your show.
Paul Shanklin?
Yes.
Musician?
Yes. He's been in the news lately. A song, Barack the Magic Negro. Some of that political satire is pretty well executed.
Okay.
It'd be good for a laugh.
Yeah, we need a few laughs. I'm with you on laughing. Nolan is a good name, too, isn't it? Nolan.
Yes.
Were you named after somebody?
Bob Nolan of the Sons of the Pioneers.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Okay. Thanks, Nolan.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, goodbye. Victoria from Appleton. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Thanks, you too.
And I have a trio of people. They're all authors and out there. One is Joel Barker. I don't know if you've had him on. He's a futurist. He has many books out regarding emerging technologies, and his catchphrase is innovations on the verge, where it's marrying inventions with innovations, and he says this is what's going to take us forward. You know, if we start thinking of all these inventors out there in our country and how they can also merge with innovators, we might get ourselves out of our predicament of, you know, a lot of businesses closing down. He mentioned, I think, FedEx has emerged with a forklift company when they found out that they could save time by weighing packages with the forklift as a weight, you know, and if that makes any sense, instead of just putting the package on a weight and then lifting it up on a forklift to get it going on its merry way. So he's quite interesting. I just heard him on another radio program. Joel Barker is his name.
Okay.
And the other one is, I don't know if you've heard of, I'm sure you have, Naomi Klein.
Sure.
The Shock Doctrine, her latest book.
Right.
And the other one is the fellow Malcolm Gladwell. I think you had him on when he wrote the book Blink.
Yes.
He has another one out called Outliers.
Yeah, it's been on. It's really been on New York Times number one for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I saw it in the New Yorker and read the review. So
right.
Those are my choices. And also, I just want to make a comment about the woman who called in about Al Franken.
Right.
Love Al Franken, but let's let him at least get a little bit, you know, into his role if he is going to be the new senator from Minnesota. We don't want him just to be the jokester in Congress. You know, I think he's taking this very seriously, you know, as a politician. And I would think if we put him on too soon, we're not going to take him seriously if he becomes the next senator of Minnesota.
Right.
But I love Al Franken.
Thanks, Victoria.
Okay, well, thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah, bye-bye. Mary is next from Milwaukee. Hello, Mary.
Yeah, I think that people should look into why our weather has gotten so much colder in the last, little over last year. Maybe some changes have occurred somewhere, and maybe we're not dealing with global warming to the point that we thought we were at, you know. I think there's a climate change that we're going through right now, and I think people should look at it more seriously and find out why it's going on.
All right. Thank you, Mary. We've done lots of shows on climate change, but we will continue to do them, I'm sure, in 2009. Dave from Madison. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to see do a show on how we have racked up $11 trillion of debt when we were only in debt $1 trillion in 1980. What happened in the United States that made this possible? Kevin Phillips would be a very good person to have on. He's an author, former Republican who now is an independent, and I think, you know, somebody to shed light on, you know, how this happened would
be
great.
Did you hear the show that we did about China? Was it last week or the week before? We talked quite a bit about that. It was really a good show, but I know who Kevin Phillips is, and there was a lot of interest in that show, and I'm sure that we'll be doing a follow-up. So, Kevin Phillips, this is a good suggestion.
Yeah, and, you know, it's 20 of the last 28 years we've had Republicans who say that they're for fiscal discipline, and this is what's happened. And one other comment, the guy in the birth certificate, tell him to turn Rush Limbaugh off.
All right, thanks, Dave.
Yep.
Goodbye. Bye. Leota is next from Appleton. Hi, Leota.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to suggest the president of this Brady Center against Gun Violence.
Okay.
His name is Paul Helmke, the president. And I think now that the Supreme Court has made it very clear that we can indeed keep our guns, that mantra that has been tossed around all the time, saying, you know, they'll take our guns away, it's just not possible. We can keep our guns. But at the same time, the Supreme Court said that there can be restrictions. Anton Scalia even said so. So I'd like to know what those restrictions might be. What would they mean to us? You know, what are the restrictions? How are they going to be developed? And I think even as much as each of us who have guns in Wisconsin want to keep them, we still are anxious about what can be done to halt the random killings on the city streets and in our homes by accident. So I really think that would be interesting and helpful to us.
All right, Leota, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. We'll take more calls in a moment. It's open line for January, 800-486-8655 is our number, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go back to your phone calls. Rick from Nina is next. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Kathleen. Good morning.
Hi.
First of all, I want to mention the guy who called about the Mother Jones article. Excellent article. Everybody should read it.
Okay.
But the reason I called insurance companies and why they deny so many claims, specifically workers' comp, you can have so much documentation from doctors and hospitals and whatever concerning your workers' comp claim. And so many times I've heard, so me included, I've heard so many horror stories, and people will be on the operating table or it'll be the night before an operation that the comp carrier calls and says, we're denying your claim. And for no specific reason, just something real general. And like I was told by many lawyers, that they will hang whatever they can, hang their coat on whatever they can just to get out of paying a claim. Then they put the whole burden on the claimant to hire lawyers and go through hearings and everything. And I just think it would be a good, good topic for discussion on some show.
Okay, Rick.
That's about it.
That's it. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Molly from Madison. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I know I may have heard a program on this sometime in the past, but I would love to hear any guests you might be able to have on about attention deficit disorder, particularly in adults. I know that there's a whole generation of kids who are now, like me, I'm in college and kind of struggling to adapt to the normal world after being given a lot of special allowances in school and things. So I know that John Rady is a really good author on that subject. No, Sari Solden is a good author on women and adult attention deficit disorder. But I know there's been some really interesting research in the past couple of years dealing with brain scans and blood flow to the various areas of the brain, and some really interesting progress. So I'd love to have a guest on to talk about that.
Okay, Molly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Okay. Bob is next from Lannan. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah, how about Howard Zinn, for one,
okay.
Historian and author.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Finley, they dare to speak out. He was a congressman for about 20 years, and he spent some time in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a founding member of CNI, which I belong to. Norm Finkelstein. How about him, too?
Okay.
And one for good measure, Seymour Hersh.
Oh, we haven't talked to him in a long time.
Great New Yorker.
Yeah, he's fabulous. Okay. All right. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Jim from Galena. Hi, Jim.
Happy New Year, Kathleen.
You too.
I don't have a guest or a book in mind, but I'd like to hear a discussion of the war on drugs from an economic point of view, maybe the cost and benefit analysis of it, and with all the news about Juarez, Mexico, and all the violence escalating, and our current economic problems, it seems like a timely topic and something that has an impact, a great impact on us, and seems to be a big elephant in the room right now that no one's addressing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Matt from Lake Geneva. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Matt.
I wanted to second the idea that an earlier caller made about talking about the New Deal. I think that's a very timely topic. A lot of people are calling for measures that are similar to what happened in the New Deal to address the economic problems that we're facing. And Amity Schlaith, I should just say, she wrote that book that he mentioned, The Forgotten Man, about the Great Depression. She is a pretty substantial person. She's a fellow on the Council on Foreign Relations, and she's a writer for the Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal, and so she and I just finished the book actually too. It was very interesting, and then there are two professors at UCLA, Harold L. Cole and Lee Ohanian, who also did a study and reached kind of similar conclusions to what Amity Schlaith comes up with in The Forgotten Man, and they are people who are saying basically that the New Deal actually slowed recovery from the downturn in the early 1930s, and they're supported in that by Robert E. Lucas Jr., who was the 1995 Nobel laureate in economics, and who's a professor at the University of Chicago. So they're all substantial players that have a different take on the New Deal, and I think you could make a good program out of that group of people.
All right, Matt. I appreciate your suggestions. Thank you.
Sure.
Our number is 800-486-8655. Tom from Rhinelander is next. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm phoning this morning to see if you could possibly try to get Carrie Kennedy on. Carrie recently wrote a book called Being Catholic Now or Today. I can't remember the exact words. But I just thought it'd be really interesting to hear what's going on in Catholicism these days. You might even ask her about her relative, find out what's going on with her and the family and everything. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call. Mike from Whitefish Bay, hi.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Mike.
Happy New Year.
You too.
I don't know if you've ever had him, but I think an interesting guy would be David Barsamian. He's the founder of alternative radio, Boulder, Colorado. He's on the other public radio station every Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
How do you spell his last name, Mike? I'm not aware of it.
B-A-R.
B-A-R.
S-A-M.
S-A-M.
I-A-N.
I-A-N.
David Barsamian.
Okay.
He founded alternative radio about 25 years ago, and he has all kinds of, I mean, he's a left-leaning guy, but he's a very articulate and clear thinker, and he's got a lot to say, and I think he'd be an interesting guy to talk to.
All right, Mike. Thank you.
You bet.
Frank from Madison. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
I hope you have a good New Year.
Thanks, Frank. You too.
I would like to suggest very strongly James Hansen, the man who got global warming right, and the man who is, although very calm, an extremely anxious man about the future. And I would like to say that if you do The Forgotten Man, talk to Paul Krugman. It's nonsense. So thank you. Happy
All right,
New Year.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Is it Anna or Ina from Duluth?
Yes. I would like to ask you to have Greg Palast on, and I would echo that Noam Chomsky would be a wonderful guest. And I believe David Barasamian, who was mentioned recently, he's the one who's done a lot of interviewing with Noam Chomsky. And I also want to echo vote for Naomi Klein. And as well for Paul Krugman, he would also be a wonderful guest at this point. And besides that, I am so amazed and impressed with Wisconsin Public Radio listeners. They are so tuned in to what is happening. And to you, Happy New Year. Your program is so vital, always. I try to listen to it whenever I have a chance. Thank you. Please
thank you.
Continue.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Nice to hear from you. We go to Doug from Green Bay. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Doug.
How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm great. I just, a couple of months ago, I was looking at our local paper, the Press Gazette, and they had did a little article in there on how many people in Brown County commit suicide and the ages of them. And I'm a producer-director, and I took it upon myself to start producing a documentary on the subject. And I went and I went on the Internet and found some people who are organizing walks and trying to raise awareness. And I had a chance to do an on-camera interview with this one particular person. And in that 45-minute talk with her, I learned so much about that subject, and not only that, people are afraid to even bring it up. It's almost like a taboo subject. And I also found out that even in the educational systems, they don't even want to bring the subject up around children or students because they think that it'll encourage them. And in reality, that clearly means they don't get what's going on. So I learned so much, and I just think it's a subject that would be worth looking into.
All right. And from what kind of angle, Doug, have you, in your research, found an author who's very good or...?
Well, first of all, what shocked me and made me interested in the subject is I didn't know so many people last year did this, took their own lives, and you know, in 09, it's going to happen, you know, again. This is just an ongoing thing, and there's a huge thing of awareness that people don't understand. For example, one thing that I didn't know is that many people who commit suicide have a disease like some people are alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just think it's a subject that is worth, you know, bringing out in the open and talking about because it can prevent people from doing this.
Thank you, Doug. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
We go next to Julie from Oshkosh. Hi, Julie.
Hi. Actually, one of the topics I'm interested in fits in with what the last gentleman was talking about. There's a professor at UW-Madison who has done work on the neurochemistry of happiness.
Hmm.
And it would be interesting to hear him talk about that and how his research fits in with other means of finding happiness for those who are brain chemistry somehow handicapped from happiness from birth. The other topic I'd be interested in hearing somebody talk about is this wild increase in obsession with dogs. And I say this as a dog lover, but I just notice you go to the bookstore and it seems like every third book is about dogs.
You're absolutely right, yeah.
And I'm wondering, you know, whether this is aligned with an increased atomization in our culture, how it might be connected to the economic situation, and how dog ownership in Wisconsin, for instance, is different from dog ownership in other places of the country where people don't hunt as much, and other parts of the world where dogs play a fairly different role in people's lives.
I've noticed that too, Julie. The number of books, you know, Marley and Me is this, it's not a very good movie, I guess, but it's this huge box office sensation. And
yeah.
Dewey the Cat, which is number one on the bestseller list. It's more dogs than cats, I think. But you're onto something with that. I think you're right. There
yeah.
is something
and,
going on.
What was the other one I was going to? Oh, yeah, Dog Hotel, that new kids movie.
Right.
Which actually looks kind of cute, and as a dog-obsessed person, I might go see it.
I know, I'm with you, right.
And take a kid along just as an excuse.
Right, All right, good. Thanks, Julie. Happy New Year.
Sure. You too.
And
bye.
We're out of time for our open line. Thanks, everybody. We'll do this again in February. And we do promise. We go out with a promise for a comedy show toward the end of February. We're going to start that again in 2009. It's one of our radio New Year resolutions. Thanks to Rob Schroeder for producing this. And our email addresses are Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G. Mine's Dunn, K. And we're both at WPR.org.